in the final Sunday of our series, Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. And it's coming out of that verse where it says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we acknowledge that although God is unchanging, how God works in and through his people changes during different seasons. And over the course of this past month, we've looked at things that are important to us as a church. We looked at missions, and we said, guess what? Missions has been important to this church. It is important to this church and will continue to be important to this church, but how we participate in mission has changed over the last 100+ years that this church has been in existence. We looked at worship, and we acknowledged that worship has been important. It is important and will always be important, but how we have worshiped as a body has changed over the years. Okay. Last week, we looked at the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has always been important to this church. It is important and will always be important, and the day that it stops being important is the day that we stop being a church. This morning, we're going to look at one more thing that has always been important to this church, and that has been the ministry to young families. It's one of the things that has always been important to this church. Throughout its history, reaching out to young families, to students, has been important. It has been important, it is important, and will continue to be important. But how we've done it in the past is different from the way we do it today, and how we do it today is different from the way it will be done in the years to come. Okay, God is unchanging. He will continue to work through his people, but how he does it will change, and we need to be okay with that. Now, long before I ever was contacted by this church to be their pastor, I worked with this church. About 15 years ago, I was asked to speak at a houseboat camp where two churches came together, and I was the speaker. One of the two churches that was at that houseboat camp was Community Covenant Church. And while I was on that houseboat camp, I met one of the guys that was working at Community Covenant Church, a guy by the name of Steve Burdick. Many of you know Steve, and we're praying for you. Actually, I got off that houseboat. It was before I ever had a cell phone. I grabbed a payphone. I called my wife up in Washington. I said, I just met a guy that if I ever lived close to him, I think he'd be a really, really good friend. Well, 15 years later, I'm having coffee with Steve going, guess what church just called me? And we laughed at each other at how God just kind of goes, if you want to see God laugh, tell him your plans. Steve is going to be the one preaching this morning, and it is very, very appropriate that he is preaching on this particular morning. Not just because he's on staff with College Golf Fellowship, where he's able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with college-age students on their campuses and through their athletic endeavors. Not only because he reaches out to young people, it's appropriate to have Steve here this morning because he came to know Jesus Christ because of the ministry of this church. And his ability to reach out to future generations was made possible because this church took young people seriously. And so with that in mind, would you please welcome back Steve Burdick.
It's good to be with you this morning. Thanks so much for having me back. It was great to be here a few times last year as you guys were searching for a pastor, and I told you you hired a great, great man in Mike Stell, and so we are so thankful. Let's give Mike a round of applause for what he's done here at Community Covenant Church in a short time. What a blessing it is to have him locally here, and we've been able to hang out and just to be able to be friends like we've talked about for so many years, and it is such a blessing to be back here because this is my family. This is where I grew up. In fact, I came to Community Covenant Church when I was 7 years old. We moved into the area, and I started coming to the Sunday school. My parents came sporadically to church here, and I remember still to this day meeting in this closet right over here when I was in third grade. That was our Sunday school room because we didn't have room anywhere, and so we were in Sunday school class right in that closet when I was a third grader, memorizing Bible verses, getting little special prizes for memorizing scripture, and so soaking in God's word, and as I grew, we moved into the kitchen. The kitchen that's no longer there was my fourth and fifth grade Sunday school classroom, believe it or not, and so in that classroom, I was learning more about what the gospel was and how Jesus had died for my sins. And I started to learn what it looked like to walk in relationship with Jesus. And then as I got a little older, we started doing the Vacation Bible School out in the front area out there. In fact, I think it was Beth Gavea that was actually leading that back when I was, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, and going to Vacation Bible School. And in fact, it's kind of an ironic story, but my wife, who's here today as well, Janelle, was invited by a woman named Debbie Ballou. Maybe you remember her. She used to attend this church. In fact, she was her babysitter and invited her to the Vacation Bible School where she heard the gospel for the first time. And we were sitting on hay bales together out in that little area in the front area, learning about Jesus together, not even knowing each other and how our paths have now crossed. And we've been married for almost 15 years. And it's just so ironic. And as I think about just growing up here and some of the other things, as I got into junior high, there was an associate pastor by the name of Dave Hillier. I don't know if you guys remember him, but he was the associate pastor who walked Amy Boston and I through confirmation in junior high. And we memorized the Apostles' Creed and the books of the Bible and continuing to grow in our relationship with God. And just the stories of how this church has invested in the youth and the next generation to say, this is something we value and we want to send you guys out and build you up and make disciples. And as I got a little bit older, I got into high school. And in fact, during my high school years, unfortunately, I kind of drifted away from God. In fact, golf became my number one priority. And if some of you have heard my stories, I ended up going to Stanford on a golf scholarship. But while I was in high school, sports and academics and all of the things that kind of started cluttering into my life started to take precedence. And my priorities started to change. And God wasn't on the throne of my life during that time as I pursued this career as a golfer. And thankfully, it worked out. I got to go to Stanford on a golf scholarship. But as I was a senior in high school, there was a new youth pastor that Community Covenant Church had hired, this crazy guy named Keith Hamilton, who I know you all remember Keith Hamilton, right? So Keith Hamilton comes in, and you can give him a round of applause, absolutely. Keith Hamilton shows up at Community Covenant Church. And I had heard about this guy. He's taking people on mission trips. They're going to Mexicali. He's taking guys to this crazy conference called CHIC. I don't know if you guys remember CHIC, but that was actually a high school conference for high schoolers. Why do they call it CHIC? I have no idea. It was an acronym for Covenant High in Christ, but it was kind of an odd thing to send 5,000 high schoolers to a conference called CHIC. But anyways, that was something that he was promoting and talking about. And I was kind of piquing my interest, and some of my friends that were still involved in the youth group were inviting me to come back. And I just wasn't interested, though. I had my focus. I couldn't go to church on the weekends because I was practicing my golf game. And all of a sudden, this youth pastor invited me out to lunch one day. We went to that little Caro's on Douglas Boulevard, and he asked me a question that changed my life. And I've shared it before, but I'm going to share it again. He said, Steve, if all the success that you've had with golf, if all the success that you've had in the school, and you're going off to Stanford on a golf scholarship, and you have so much to look forward to, he said, if all that success was taken away, would you still be content in life? And that rocked my world. It changed my life because I realized that I wouldn't be content because my identity was rooted in my performance. You see, as much as I had a great foundation of who Jesus was and what God wanted for my life, my identity was wrapped up in success. And in the world's eyes, as long as I had that success, I would be content. And so Keith said, if you want to learn about true contentment, let's start hanging out. And so we started meeting weekly, and we started processing what a true relationship with Christ looked like. And he started to unpack God's word, and I started to see the gospel for the first time in a new light. You see, growing up, I thought being good was good enough. If I just obeyed all the Ten Commandments and I avoided the really bad sins, then I would be good with God. And he said to me, if you're not perfect, you'll never be good enough to get into heaven. And I'd never processed that. Sure, I'd heard it before, but as he started to teach it to me through God's word and I started to study the scriptures for myself, I came to realize that I would never be good enough. And it was only in Christ that I could find what I was looking for, true contentment, a righteousness that I couldn't earn on my own good behavior. And so for the first time, the gospel became real and the Holy Spirit started to illuminate things in my life. And I started to walk in a new relationship with Christ. And Keith started to pour into me, and he started to disciple me. And he started to challenge me, and he kicked me out. And he said, hey, I want you to go share this with other people. And he'd invite me up in front of the youth group, and he'd ask me to share my story and my testimony. And you guys, you probably can't imagine this, but when I was a kid, I absolutely hated being up in front of people. In fact, I got up to share for the first time, and my leg was shaking so mightily up here at this church on Thanksgiving evening, just sharing what I was thankful for, because Keith asked me, hey, I want you to share in front of everybody what you're thankful for. And so kids, I know you're in this room today. I want to tell you, I want to speak to you guys. God wants to use you as well. And that's why you're in here today to hear a message that God can use each and every one of you. Why? Because God cares for the kids. I want to invite up my two children today, Jessica and Zachary, and I'm going to ask them to read two passages of scripture. Give them a little applause. They're kind of nervous, but I wanted to bring him up here. It's youth weekend. And I asked them to share two verses that really talk about why God values the kids. And so Jessica's going to read first here.
Luke 18:16 says, "But Jesus called them to him, saying, 'Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs to the kingdom of God.'"
Awesome.
1 Timothy 4:12, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity."
All right. Great job, you guys. Kids, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young. That was Paul's words to a young pastor named Timothy in the early church. He says, you have what it takes to set an example for the believers in speech and life and love and faith and in purity. And so we need the young people to be built into, and that's what this church has always valued, and it will continue to value. How we do ministry to the kids is always going to be changing. We still do vacation Bible school because it still has an impact in kids' lives. And if kids, if you haven't signed up for VBS, how many people, all the kids, you going to VBS? Awesome. Amy Boston does an amazing job at bringing these kids in and teaching them God's word so that they can hide it deep into their heart. We need that. We need to continue to do that. Jesus valued the children. He didn't say push them away. He said bring them in. For the kingdom of God is for a young child. We need to embrace the kingdom with faith like a child. And sometimes we get set in our ways and we get used to doing things a certain way. And we need to remember the value that God has for the kids. As we think about what that call is, if Jesus has called us to make disciples, to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, Jesus' promise, I will always be with you to the end of the age. And so he invites us in, and then he sends us out. And as we are going, we were to make disciples wherever we were at. Kids, adults, youth, any age, families at all sizes, shapes, and colors, that we would come and we would make disciples. And we can't leave this call just for the pastors and the, quote, varsity level Christians. This is for all of us. We are all called to make disciples wherever God has placed each one of us. And so when we think about what that looks like, and we think about what this church has done over the last 34 years since I showed up, God has continued to produce disciple makers who make disciples. And I just thought it'd be fun to share a few of those people that came through this ministry. Maybe we're in ministry with Keith Hamilton or Scott Johnson, or underneath these people as interns. Eric Johnson, you remember Eric Johnson, who is now a covenant pastor serving in Alaska. He was at Alaska Christian College, and now he's at Alaska Edmondson Center. Amy Boston, of course, has been serving here in ministry for how many years? Brittany Thomas was a missionary in Mercy Ships. Robert Combs is now serving with College Golf Fellowship, who came through this ministry as well. Tim Hedberg, a pastor in the Covenant denomination. Steve Johnson, another Covenant pastor in the Midwest. Eric Grunder, our very own Eric Grunder Jr., is now a youth pastor in El Dorado Hills. Stacy Bennett was in our youth group here, is now a missionary in Turkey. Sarah Sneed married a children's pastor, and they're serving together in Southern California. Craig Wyrens, a missionary in Bulgaria who spoke here just a couple weeks ago. Kevin Sneed, a youth pastor in Napa, now off to Fuller Seminary and serving. All because of the impact of this church, changing lives and building into the next generation. My hope is that this will never change, that we will continue to make disciples who make disciples of the next generation. When I went off to Stanford, I played golf there, won a national championship, got to play a year with Tiger Woods. He was a freshman my senior year. Got to teach him a few things about the game of golf, and he actually listened to me, so he had some success. But as I graduated, the golf game didn't quite go the way I had planned. But God had bigger and better plans and different plans. And he took me in a different direction. And as I was trying to play professional golf, God kept putting a passion inside of my heart to share the hope of Christ with others. And eventually that passion to share the hope of Christ with others became greater than my passion to hit a little white golf ball into a hole. And I knew God was doing something there, and I didn't exactly know what it was. And my dad passed away during that time, and my dad became a believer through the ministry of this church as well. And my dad is in heaven today, and my dad shared something with me before he passed away. I didn't even know at the time he was sick. He'd gone through a lot of health problems, and we were down in Southern California, down in Palm Springs, and we were playing golf together, working on our golf game. And my dad looked at me one day, and he said, "Steve, I know why God is putting this passion inside of you to share with others, and I know that you have incredible gifts with the game of golf. But God has changed my life over the last 7 years when he became a Christian." And he said, "Over these last 7 years, God has taught me two things. Number one, he's taught me the importance of loving my family well. And number two, he's taught me the importance of sharing Christ with other people." And those two things was like a blessing being poured out of heaven into my heart at that point. 2 weeks later, my dad gets pneumonia, and 4 days later, he died. And I got to stand up here at Community Covenant Church and share that story with the hundreds of people that had gathered to hear what my dad stood for, and to know confidently that my dad's in heaven today because the gospel transformed his life. And he had spoken into my heart those words of blessing that after my dad died, I realized that there was something more important in life than just golf. Life was too short, and he was calling me something different. And so after a time away from golf, I knew God was leading me into ministry. And so I came back to Community Covenant Church. And the new youth pastor at that time was a guy named Scott Johnson. And Scott Johnson was saying, "Hey, why don't you come be an intern at Community Covenant Church?" And I said, "Well, what does that pay?" He said, $500 a month. I said, "I'm in." $500 a month was what I got to use my Stanford degree for. It was awesome. And so I came back here. And for $500 a month, I got to get trained up under an amazing man of God. As he taught me what incarnational ministry looked like. What does that mean? To live out the gospel in relationship with other people. He taught me how to teach, how to speak, how to lead. And for 2 years, I used that office right there as my office, which is now a closet. So all these things are getting transformed here. And we started a college ministry here at Community Covenant Church to build into young people and to send them out. And we start to see these kids being sent out as missionaries, as pastors and youth pastors and world changers and disciple makers. And it didn't matter if they went into full-time ministry. We were all called to be disciple makers wherever God had called us. Each one of us, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, we are called to make disciples as we are going to build in to that next generation. And for the kids, don't let anybody look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in life and speech and conduct and faith and impurity to build into it. You can do it. I remember sitting right over here. All of our youth would sit on this side and we'd listen to Pastor Ron Mancini preach sermons. And they would go on and on and on because Ron Mancini had a difficult time landing the plane. But he said it this way. He said, "Sermonettes make Christianettes." So we preached for a long time. And so I'd sit over here and I'd listen to these messages. That was like a fire hose being blown into my brain. And I go, "Oh my gosh, this is unbelievable, challenging me." And there was always this little moment thinking, could I do that? No way, I can't do that. I couldn't get up in front of people. Kids, listen to me right now. You can do this. God is calling you guys to do this and to get up and share what God has done in your lives. I entitled this message, "Family on Mission," for a reason. We are the family of God, and we've been called to be sent out on mission together. There's a book I read recently called Family on Mission by Mike Breen. It's a great book if you want to read it. I'm going to summarize a few of his insights for us this morning to really challenge us to say, what does reaching out to the family look like? And Mike Breen talked about two big picture themes in the Bible. He talked about covenant and kingdom, and he says God has invited us into a love relationship with himself, and he uses covenants to show who he is, and he's given us a new identity when he brings us into this relationship, and then he makes us part of his family. That's based upon what Jesus has done for us. We are invited into relationship because of the cross, not because of how good we are, what we have done. And then God calls us to have a kingdom responsibility. What is that responsibility? God has called us to respond to this gift of grace, the gospel, by living out a life of obedience that shows the world who he is and what his kingdom looks like. So he invites us in and he calls us his own and he makes us one of his children because of the good news of the gospel. And then he says, but now I want to send you out. That's what the nation of Israel was in the Old Testament. They were invited in, not because they were really good or smart. In fact, they rejected God over and over and over again, but God had his hand on them. And he says, you are to represent me to the rest of the world. And then Jesus comes and he says, I'm the fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament. And now because of me and the life that I live that you couldn't, and because of my death on that cross, absorbing the penalty that your sin deserved, when you put your trust in me as the way, the truth, and the life, now you've been given a new identity and you're welcomed into God's family. We call that the church. And we are the church now to live on that mission to represent his kingdom into this world. How we do that changes. But I'm going to give you three things to think about. Three things to think about. Three ways to look at what it looks like to live out the kingdom. Are we a family or a mission? Are we a family or a mission? Well, what do I mean by that? Well, a lot of the times we try and separate those two things out. We either want to be really good at loving each other and being a family, even in our nuclear families, and we're a really tight-knit family, but we don't have time to do that mission stuff, that church stuff, or that reaching out to our neighborhood stuff. And so we make one decision or the other. I'm going to be really good at loving my family and loving each other in the body of Christ and this family, but I can't really reach out. Is that you? Or does the second one describe you? Family and mission. We're going to do both really well. We're going to be a family who loves people really well, and we're going to be on mission all the time. That sounds really good, and I tried to do that for a long time in our family. My wife had to tap me on the shoulder and says, hey, we can't do this like this. You want to go serve and do ministry all the time, and then our family, you got to come down, we're going to put parameters in, we're going to margin our schedule, we're going to try and balance all these things. And yet it's really hard to do both of those things really well. You end up sacrificing one for the other, or you sacrifice the other for the one. And so Mike Breen in his book says there's a better way. What if we're a family on mission? What if we actually serve as a family, both nuclear family and family of God? And so we don't have to segregate those things. We don't have to separate them and compartmentalize them, because so often we compartmentalize our faith and we make Christianity part of our life, and then we have our work life, and then we have our family life, and then we have this part of our life, and our extracurriculars, and our kids' school, and our kids' activities, and sports, and all these things, and we go one to the next, to the next, to the next. But if we're a family on mission, now we're inviting our family in to walk by faith into this new identity that's been given to us in Christ, and we live it out, and we represent that to the rest of the world. Can we be a family on mission? Our family's trying to learn that right now. We're processing through different things, and it's so fun and exciting to actually serve with your family doing things. We just welcomed in Janelle's cousin into our family. She's a 42-year-old, and she was struggling with a lot of issues in her past and brokenness. And we prayed, and we said, Lord, are you calling us to invite her into our family? And so she came, and she lived with us for almost 4 months. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't easy. There was a lot of brokenness and a lot of struggle. And Janelle spent a lot of time investing in her, praying over her, discipling her. Our kids were brought into that process, and we prayed over her as a family. And then we started bringing people outside of just our nuclear family, but our small group and other people we knew from our church, praying and building into her. Because we wanted to be a family on mission. And so our kids got to start seeing how we lived out the gospel with other people. Casey Fry, a good friend of mine who's leading us in worship today, is modeling what it means to be a family on mission. He's inviting his kids into the process. He was just sharing with me recently about an opportunity that his 10-year-old son had to pray with his wife over somebody who was really struggling. And so this 10-year-old is pouring out his heart into prayer with his wife and his family together. And he taps his wife, his mom, on the shoulder, and he says, "Mom, ask him if he has something hurting. I feel like God's saying he has some pain." And so she says, well, my son thinks you have pain. Is there any pain?" And he goes, "No." And so they continue to pray over this man. And he tugs on her shirt again. And he says, "Mom, ask him about his knee. I feel like his knee is in pain." "Is that weird?" She says, "My son thinks your knee's in pain. Is that true?" And he looks at her and he goes, "Oh my gosh. I've had chronic knee pain for the last 20 years. I don't even think that's pain anymore. Look at all this medicine that I take every single day for my pain." And this 10-year-old boy lays his hands on his knee and the pain went away. God is in the business of changing lives, and he wants our family to be a part of it. And it doesn't just have to be our family, nuclear family. We become the family of God. If you're single, that's great. Bond with the community of believers, and let's stand as one family together on mission, reaching out just to not only the next generation, but those outside. And let's live with purpose. Let's live with meaning beyond ourselves. Let's look outward and to see, God, what are you doing in this world? How can I be a part of that mission? We are the family, and we have a chance to be a family on mission. Family or mission doesn't work because we're not living the way God called us to live. Family and mission exhausts us because we need to manage our boundaries. Thus, a family life never quite feels purposeful, but a family on mission empowers us because we learn to live an integrated life, moving forward in mission as a community, living out what God has called us to live. Kids, I know this was hard to sit through a whole sermon, but you're the church of tomorrow. You're not even the church of tomorrow. You're the church of today. And we can't wait for just the church and wait for the VBS and the youth ministry and the cool youth pastor to disciple our kids. We, as parents, need to be involved in the discipleship of our kids. We need to be a family on mission together so that this church, Community Covenant Church, continues to have an influence in the years to come. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be a family. God, thank you for your word that talks about who you are and what you've done for us. God, thank you for giving us a new identity in Christ. God, may we never, ever try and earn that identity by living a good life. May we rest in the good news of what Jesus did for us and believe the gospel daily and receive that gift of grace that you've given us and that new identity, that new family identity as a child of a heavenly King. But God, as we respond to that identity that's been given to us by grace, may we live out that kingdom responsibility that you've given us. Lord, may we live on mission as a family, and may we serve you always in Jesus' name. Amen.